1. The Bible said, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" That is, the Lord wants to know who the dummy is that's bothering him. "Gird up now thy loins like a man." That's the beginning of breeches in the Bible. Because what they did when they girded up their loins like a man, there's a difference between the way a man girds his loins and a woman. And what they would do when they got ready to go to battle, they would reach down and take their gown and stretch it out this way and pull it up and tuck it in their waistband on both sides. So it made like a great big pair of loose bloomers. But it freed up the legs so they could run and fight. And then pants, breeches to breech, came from that. Amen? Anyway, breeches only mentioned 5 times in the Bible, by the way. And all 5 times they're linen breeches made for the priest. They're always male attire. The Bible says it's an abomination for a woman to wear that which pertaineth to a man. I just throw that in. Didn't mean a thing. Just throw it in. Verse 4. "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." God said, "Okay, buddy, you came before my court and you ran your mouth." You got to remember now that just prior to that, Job said, "Oh, that I had a daysman. You know, if I had me a lawyer, if I had me a defense attorney, we'd come before him and we'd pepper him with all these questions." And now Job's decided it's time to bow his head and keep his big mouth shut. Amen. Because now he's face to face with the Almighty. And the first question out of the gun there, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth?" You know what Job's got to say in response to that? "I wasn't there." I want to bring you a little message this morning on that thought. Just want to borrow a thought from that verse. I wasn't there. We were down at the Cordette Convention, and goodness gracious, we had a good old time. They had some of the best ice cream in them. You could go down there, it was like, I don't know, $4 or $5 for a big old ice cream thing, and you could get one of those and sit there and listen. It'd take you maybe 5 or 6 quartets to eat one. And by then it was time to go down and get some rotisserie chicken. That would take 2 or 3 quartets. And then you could come back and get... they had all kind of neat stuff. They had pizza and they had pork chop sandwiches. And I kind of had it figured out how many quartets it would take to consume each one of those goodies, you know. And they had popcorn. And the first night we were there, I was having this 6 quartet ice cream. Says you've got to have a method to everything. And this group came on called Legacy 5. And Roger Bennett, who was the piano player for the Cathedral Quartet, started this group called Legacy 5. And they are very smooth. They are very professional. They're not one of the ragtag ragamuffin bunches like the Crabs and that bunch of illiterate and functionally illiterate. Legacy 5's got class and style. They wear coats and ties and they have manly haircuts and they act like gentlemen. Amen. And they sang a song that the first time I heard it was back in the 60s by a country and western singer named Johnny Cash, the Man in Black. And he sang, "I Wasn't There When They Crucified My Lord." The name of the song was "I Wasn't There." And it's a very moving song, at least I thought it was back in the 60s. And I wasn't saved back then either. But they sang that song. And I still liked it, and I still thought it was very moving. I wasn't there when they crucified my Lord. See, but it doesn't change anything just because I wasn't there. Doesn't mean he wasn't crucified. Doesn't mean it wasn't real. Doesn't mean it's not historical. It still is. Just because I was there, wasn't there, didn't change the thing. Well, I enjoyed their song, and I appreciated it and all that. And then the next night, this group came on called, it's a brand new group just getting started, called Gold City Quartet. And they were trying to make a name for themselves. And they sang a song called "You Ought to Have Been There." And I thought, boy, wouldn't that have been wonderful? You ought to have been there. You ought to have been there when God did all kinds of things. Wouldn't it have been wonderful? And then the next night, this group that's not quite as classy as the foregoing two groups, but they're nice folks, and they sang a song, "I Wish I Could Have Been There." And I got to thinking about them three songs. I wasn't there. I ought to have been there. I wish I could have been there. And I got to thinking about that, and you've got this message coming this morning, because I wrote a brand new song entitled, "I'm Going to Be There." Amen. And that's really what I want to talk to you about. There's some things I missed, but that doesn't mean we missed everything. Amen. You ever go to a program, and they say, "Well, now it starts at 7, and my family, we're punctual. We're always there early." I hate late. I hate it. I just almost as soon not go if I got to go late. Now, Lewis, on the other hand, don't bother him a bit. I'm just teasing Brother Lewis now. As far as I know, he hadn't been late to anything. What was I talking about? Yeah, but you get to this program, and you say, "Oh, we're going to miss it, we're going to miss it, we're going to miss it." And it's a two-hour program, and you get there 15, 20 minutes late. Well, you did miss some things, but you didn't miss everything. You were there for the break in the middle. Amen, you made intermission. And you always, if you come in late, you still get the main attraction, who has got number one billing, because they're going to put them on last. Amen. And so you may have missed some things, but that don't mean you have to miss everything. Well, there's a lot of things I've missed since God started this whole ball of wax rolling. But that doesn't mean just because I came in at the last act that I'm going to miss it all. Amen? And so I want to talk to you this morning for just a few minutes about some things I missed. I wasn't there, but I'm going to be there. Amen? And so if you'll give me, I just got 6 or 8 of these. Well, actually, I've got 12, but I'm only going to give you 6 or 8 of them. Amen. Number one, I wasn't there when He spoke the worlds into existence. I wasn't back there in Genesis chapter 1 when the Lord said, "Let there be light," and there was light. I wasn't there when God spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. You say, "Well, boy, you missed it, didn't you?" Well, I don't know. I've been walking around on it now pretty near 60 years. Just because I was there, wasn't there, doesn't mean God didn't do it. It's still here. The evidence that He did do it is still in evidence. Amen. People say, "Well, how do you know God did it?" Well, because God said He did, and there wasn't nobody around. You weren't there either. And neither were all those scientists that are always whining and crying about it. They weren't there, but they spent their entire life trying to figure out how God did it. Amen. Nobody can deny that it's here. So somebody had to do it. And since me and you weren't around, and the only eyewitness and the only one with the power and the only one with the wisdom to have done it was God. I'll just take His word for it. I wasn't there for it, but I believe it. But I'll tell you this. I wasn't there when He spoke the worlds into existence, but I'll be there when He judges it. Amen. I'll tell you what, the Bible said that God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world by that man. Amen. I'm going to be there for that. I'll tell you what, all these mockers and all these scoffers and all these folks that don't want to believe and want to ridicule and want to laugh and make fun and deny and all that, okay, help yourself. But one of these days, there's coming a judgment day, and I'll be there for that. I'll be there when the mockers and the scoffers get their just reward. I'll be there when those who have rejected Jesus Christ get condemned to an eternal hell. I'll be there when the folks who denied the virgin birth and the blood atonement, I'll be there when those folks get what's coming to them. Amen. I might not have been there when He spoke it into existence, but I'll be there when He judges it, sweetheart. If you say by God's grace, you'll be there too. Come to think of it, you'll be there whether you're saved by grace or not. Every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess. I'm Daniel's coming today, and we'll be there. Secondly, I wasn't there when He rolled the Red Sea back. I wish I'd have been there. I ought to have been there. I'd like to have been there, but I wasn't there. But that's one of my favorite miracles in the Bible. You say, well, what about the creation? Well, the creation was such a magnitude, I don't think I could have dealt with it. I really believe that the creation of everything out of nothing is beyond my imagination. I can, though, at least I think I can deal with a little miracle like rolling the Red Sea back. I can deal with the God parting the waters. I can deal with God breathing on the mud and turning it into dry land. I can deal with 2 million people with all their sheep and goats and all their young and all their sick and all that marching across there. I can deal with the waters congealing and the tiger sharks in the Red Sea going, amen. I can deal with it. My mind can grapple with. I think I can grasp something as small as the rolling back of the Red Sea. But I wasn't there. So how do you know God did that? Well, because God said He did. And history says He did. And so I just believe it. Amen. But I wasn't there. I agree with you. I wasn't there when He rolled back the Red Sea. But I'll tell you what. I will be there when there is no more sea. Amen. You ever read over there in Revelation chapter 20? And I beheld, and there was no more sea. I'll be there then, see? I'm going to be part of a heavenly band. I'm going to be home in glory when God takes His church home to be with Him forever and ever. And He holds us up as a trophy of His grace for the ages to come, throughout all time and throughout all eternity. And after the judgment has come on this old earth and the tribulation is poured out and the Antichrist gets his, I'll be there when there is no more sea. When the fire has consumed the water out of the thing. And of course, now I know doctrinally, he's talking about that body, sea of your head, okay? Just in case some of y'all have been reading your Bible, and you think the preacher, well, the preacher's ignorant. He said he thought that was the Atlantic and the ocean. Give me a break. I wasn't born yesterday. But it makes good preaching. Amen. I'm telling you, he said he's going to destroy the heavens and the earth with fire. You don't know that there won't be a dry seabed out there where the Atlantic Ocean used to be and where the Pacific used to be. Amen? But whichever way it is, whether it's that water down there or that water up there or both, and it's probably both, I'll be there. I'm going to be in that great angel band standing over the banisters of glory looking when the Almighty reaches down and smites this earth in His wrath and in His fury. That's the reason the Bible said you're admonished in the Bible to flee the wrath to come. So why? Because one of these days God's going to pour it out on this old earth and I'll be there for that. I may have missed a few things along the way, but I ain't missed it all yet. The show ain't over. Thirdly, I wasn't there when the devil tempted my Lord. You know, I don't know if it's the high point or the low point in the Gospels is when Jesus is led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It wasn't an accident. It was planned. It was a test. And the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And He was tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. I wasn't there for that. I wasn't there to see the Lord God of glory, God, manifest in the flesh, resist the devil. I wasn't there to see Him quote that Old Testament passage out of Deuteronomy and say, it is written, it is written, it is written. I wasn't there when the devil tempted Him in all points like as we are. I wasn't there when He put those temptations in front of Him and the Lord resisted and the Lord overcame and the Lord was victorious. And because of that, He could die a sinless death and purchase my salvation on Calvary. I wasn't there for any of that. But I tell you what, I'll be there when they cast Him into the pit.
I wasn't there when he tempted my Lord, but I'll be there when the Lord puts him in the pit and chains him up for about 1,000 years. That's after the rapture of the church. That's after us saints of God. That's after the redeemed get called out. And I'll be there to watch that. It's going to be a glorious day when that old snake, when that old serpent, which is called the devil and Satan, is put into that pit and bound for 1,000 years. And he won't be free to go across the face of this old earth and tempt men and women and entice them to sin. And lure them into sin and damn them to a devil's hell. Won't it be wonderful when we get to that point where the devil is in the pit and he's chained up for 1,000 years and Jesus Christ rules and reigns? I wasn't there when he tempted my Lord, but I'll be there when my Lord puts him in the pit. I wasn't there when Jesus died for my sins. I wasn't there. That doesn't mean he didn't die for them. I wasn't there. I didn't stand at the foot of Calvary's hill and watch him confiscate a man to carry his cross because he was so beaten and so wounded. And drag that old tree up the side of that rugged hill. Lay it on the ground and place my Savior beaten and wounded, naked and humiliated on that tree and nail him to that piece of wood and stand him up and drop it in that hole. Some years ago, a fellow named Cecil B. DeMille, all his movies are pathetic. But he made a movie called The Greatest Story Ever Told. And in that story, there was two things that caught my attention. The rest of the movie was pathetic. But in that movie, they had a man who played the devil, who you would never have thought was the devil. Until sometimes they would take a shot of him, and you would see this mischievous glint in his eye, and you knew. But looking at him, he didn't look like the devil. He didn't act like the devil, but he was the devil. That's the way the devil always shows up. He'll come with horns and fire and all that. He comes looking like your grandma. He comes looking like your best friend at school. Well, I'll tell you what, if that's the devil, that's the best looking devil I ever saw. I'm going to say that right now. But anyway. The devil, I wasn't there when he tempted my Lord, when he... I forget what point I was on. I was on the devil, wasn't I? And as soon as I get my thoughts back over there, I got to thinking about Nana, you know, and I lost it, man. She'd been doing that to me for 43 years. Isn't that pathetic? I'm going right back over here and look at my notes, and I know exactly where I'm at because I'm quick. I get this stuff. Yeah, there was two things about that movie that always amazed me. It was the fact that he had the wisdom to put the devil as an unsuspecting character. The second thing was, when they crucified the Lord, they had him nailed to the tree, and they had the Roman soldiers pick it up, and they dropped it in a pre-dug hole with the Lord hanging on it. And you could hear that tree as it hit the bottom of that hole. And you could hear the groan of the man hanging on it. That was about as realistic as any part of that movie could be. And I'll be honest with you, when I saw it, it literally gave me cold chills to think about him taking the God of glory, God manifest in the flesh, nailing to that tree, and he's going to die for my sin, and I hear his agony as they drop him in that old hole. I wasn't there for that. I wasn't there when he died for my sins. But I was there when he washed them away. I don't know about you, buddy, but I remember that night in that little trailer park down in Meridian, Mississippi, when the high sheriff of glory rolled down the hill to heaven and the Holy Ghost of God arrested my soul and birthed me into the family of God and washed my sins away. When they sing, "Are you washed in the blood?" I always say, "Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am, buddy." I was there when he washed my sins away. I wasn't there when he died for them.
But I know that He died for them. But I'll tell you right now, I was there. I was there. I was an eyewitness. I was part of the experience. I was there when He washed them away that night.
Amen.
But if you're saved by God's grace, you were there when He washed them away.
People say, well, I hope I'm saved. I think I'm saved. You crazy. I wouldn't trust that as far as I could kick this building with my left foot. I tell you what, buddy, you say, preacher, are you saved? You ain't never going to hear me say, well, I think so. Well, I hope so. I'm doing the best I can. I'm here to tell you I was there that night when they got washed away, and I felt the load and the weight of my sin depart from my shoulders. I felt the incoming of the Holy Spirit. I had that sweet peace that passes all understanding. I had a song in my heart. I'm here to tell you, if you get saved by God's grace, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to hope about it. You can say, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know that I know that I know I'm a child of the King. I wasn't there when He came the first time. He was prophesied, was predicted, was anticipated, was announced. All the right things were done to announce the birth. And we missed it. Those shepherds abiding in the field get that first look. That baby's placed in a manger, clothed in swaddling clothes. Those wise men come 18 months or so later. Behold the young child. I missed that whole thing. Of course, only a handful were invited. Herod missed it. The high priest missed it. All the big shots missed it. The rich missed it. Just a handful of shepherd boys and a small choral group of angels got to be there when He came the first time. And He lived for 33 and a half years and marched up and down the shores of Galilee and around Jerusalem, Palestine. Never was there. I missed that whole thing. His whole first coming, I didn't get to be there for any of it. But ladies and gentlemen, I'll be there for the second coming. Amen. You ever think about this? It's not going to be long. Not going to be long, and God's going to rapture the church out. He's going to catch the church up. All the folks who are saved by God's grace, we're going to get caught up in, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Just like that, and we'll be gone. I like that song they sing, ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Amen. Now, you know, some folks talk about Christian music is just entertainment, just entertainment. You're out of your mind. It refreshes the soul. There's a spiritual connection with spiritual music. And while it may be entertaining, it ought to be a blessing. It ought to be uplifting. It ought to stir the heart, the mind, the imagination of a believer. Amen. And boy, I get a lot out of them old songs. They do a lot for me. I'll be there when He comes again. Ain't no grave going to hold His body. Now I'm going up in the rapture. I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to the marriage supper and all that. Judgment seat of Christ. And then we're going to come back down here to rule and to reign. And when the Lord comes the second time, called the second advent, when the Lord shows up on this old planet for the second time, guess who's with Him? You ever read Revelation 19? And all the armies in heaven, we're part of that army. And we come with Him. He's the captain of our salvation. We are soldiers for Jesus Christ. And we march in that heavenly army. I may have missed the first one, but I'll be there for the second one.
where are you going to be? I know you missed the first one too. Did I knock that down? Sorry about that. Y'all need to get sturdier flowers. I'll be there when he comes again. See, all these folks want to worry about all they missed and want to question whether or not it's so. Listen, I ain't got time for all that nonsense. I'm looking forward to all the things I'm going to be there for. I'm not going to let what I missed disappoint me and disillusion me and cause me to doubt and to be sad. I'd rather look forward to what's still to come. Amen? The show's not over yet. Last but not least, I wasn't there when they smote his brow. I don't know about you, I've thought about that some over the years from time to time. I've often felt sorry for, and I don't know this to be so, but if God's a father in the same sense you and I are, somebody hurt my child like that, somehow I just feel like I'd be looking for retribution. Amen. I just cannot believe that the men who smote Jesus Christ with their hands, the men who plucked out his beard, the men who laid the cat of nine tails across his back and ripped him to shreds, I just can't believe that when the time comes, God ain't got something special. I could be wrong. I'm not preaching that as doctrine. You can have your own opinion. But I've been studying that book for well over 30 years. And I think I know something about God. And he said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Amen. Now, I think them boys got a day of reckoning coming, and I wouldn't want to be there. I've often thought about, I wasn't there when they smote him, when they put that crown of thorns on his head and pushed it down in place, and those thorns went down into the skin on his forehead and the back of his head. And the blood of Almighty God ran down his cheeks and down his hair and stained his garments. I wasn't there for that. I wasn't there when they laughed and wagged their heads. I wasn't there when they cast lots for his garments. I wasn't there when they teased him and taunted him while he was on the cross. If thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us. I wasn't there for that. I missed that. But I tell you what, I'll be there when they crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It ain't over yet. You say, oh, he died an ignoble death. They crucified him on the cross. They put him in a borrowed tomb. Yeah, by the way, he ain't there either. Amen. And all that's true. They did crucify him. They did torture him. They did batter him. They did bury him. I'm here to tell you, though, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. And one of these days he's coming back and he's going to set his King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I may have missed it when they put the crown of thorns on his head, but I will not miss it. I will not miss it. I will not miss it when they put that crown on his head and we all fall on our face and throw our crowns at his feet and hail him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'll be there. I only have one question and we'll be done. We can go to Olive Garden. Here's your question. Will you? I know you weren't there when he spoke the worlds into existence. I know you weren't there when he dried up the Red Sea. I know you weren't there when he died for your sins. I know you weren't there when he's tempted by the devil. But you can be there. You can be there when they crown him King of Kings. And Lord will say, how do you do that? To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe and receive. And you can say, I'll be there. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound positive? Isn't that upbeat? I'll be there. I'll be there. I've had people tell me this, I'll be there, and they don't show up. But I'm here to tell you, I'll be there. Will you? So, preacher, you know, as we go to King James Baptist Church, you know, I don't know anything of the kind. You'll be the biggest full-flesh and two-faced lying hypocrite that ever drew a breath. Come to this church, don't get you into glory. Being religious don't get you into glory. Being a Christian, Baptist doesn't get you into glory. Being King James only won't get you into glory. Getting washed in the blood of the Lamb will get you home to glory. Will you be there? The day is coming. The hour is fixed. The appointment is made. Just want to make sure. I want to make sure as much as I can. I want to make sure you've got to be there. Just buy it. I won't sing or anything this morning. Just ask you a question. You've got to answer it honestly to yourself. Nobody else knows what you're saying. Nobody knows what you're thinking. Nobody knows your condition. I ask you this. Are you saved? I didn't ask you if you're religious. Didn't ask you to go to church. Didn't ask you if you're a good person. The question is, are you saved? Let me put it this way. Do you know that you know that you know that you will be there? Don't worry about all the things you weren't there for. There are far too many to count. Let's look at the things we can be there for. And you can be there in glory. You can be robed in white. You can be there when they crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Most important question you'll ever ask in your life, what is my condition before God? Are you going to be there? Today would be a good time to make sure. So, preacher, sometimes I think I am, sometimes I don't know. Why don't you come nail that thing down again today? It says, on this day, at this hour, I received Jesus Christ. And from that day forward, when the devil or the flesh or the world got on my case, I'd pick up my nail and show them my little sign. And it would say, saved by grace, September 26, 2004. Ladies and gentlemen, I beseech you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled unto God. Make sure you're going to be there. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that we know, that we know, that we know